Commissioner Randy Ambrosi with us here in studio here on Sportsnet 650. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Nice to see you. The 2018 season kicks off tomorrow. The Lions will play on Saturday at home against the Montreal Alouettes. You know what? A lot of people buzzing. Before we kind of dive into what's happening with the season in 2018, hey, look, you're a proud Canadian. The big news coming down this morning that that FIFA has awarded the United bid with the U.S., Mexico, and Canada the 2026 FIFA World Cup. I guess just your thoughts on that as a sports executive.
Yeah, look, I think that, you know, sports are a rallying cry for the world. I think it's good for Canada. I think we're going to be excited. I'm a sports fan. I love the idea of the best players in the world playing in that tournament here on our home soil. I'll want to take in some of those games as well. So no, I think it's good news. I think Canada's it's timed, to have some of those games here. So I'm looking forward to it.
What happens to from a CFL standpoint, because this is in the middle of summer, and for stadiums, obviously Vancouver's not going to be part of this bid tentatively right now because Vancouver had their opportunity. That's a whole other discussion that we've been having over the course of the morning, but Toronto's obviously factoring in where BMO Field, which is the home of the Argos, Edmonton Commonwealth Stadium, like this tournament is going to run for a little over a month. Is there any sense of what happens to your respective teams at this point in time?
Well, the good news is it's 2026, so yeah. Lots of planning time.
You got time.
And in your description is 10 games. I'd be terribly worried if we were talking about 60 games. Then that's probably just logistically going to be very challenging. But yeah. 10 games, not too bad. Look, a long time out, and I'm absolutely confident we can make our schedule work. And, I just feel bad for the World Cup that they're going to have to compete against us. But that, other than that, I'm all good.
Well, I see what you did there.
I think they mentioned that in Russia, that they realize it's going to be tough. The middle of the CFL season, things are going. This was your first off season as a commissioner. Did you check all the boxes of stuff you wanted to get done?
Yeah, I don't know that you ever check them all. There's lots of work to do. I feel very gratified by a number of the things we got to this year. We started by saying that there's no more off seasons. It's a business season. And we jumped right in. We got our schedule out early this year, which was really important. I think it set a tone for a more progressive approach to the way we run the league. We brought the media, invited the media to our league meetings. We decided we didn't have any particularly massive state secrets that we had to hide from the media and Canadian football fans. Over the course of the winter, I read, just the significant increase in the number of media hits we had this from December 1st right through to today. Is evidence that we have to work hard to earn our place, in the Canadian sports scene. But we did a good job of that. So lots of things, some rule changes. We're listening to the fans. One of my goals is to be the most fan-centric league in the world. I think we should be constantly talking to our fans about how do we improve our game, and we've done that. And then we've worked on collaborating with the teams. That's an improvement.
Randy, let's talk about Vancouver. That's where you are this morning, right here. And what's going on with the Lions? Last 2, 3, 4 years, attendance is a problem, all right? Getting people into the stadium. I don't think since Dickinson and Printers, and when Bobby Ackles came in and turned the franchise around, I don't think since that 2003, 2004, 2005 seasons that Vancouver's been excited about the Lions. How do you get back to where it was?
Yeah, Rick Lalisher has come in. Rick is a veteran CFL executive. Look at some of the things they're doing. They've got ticket pricing packages now that can really attract fans. Look, they've done an amazing job to make sure that in every segment, start with the kids. Let's get the kids going to our games again. We know, for example, from research that first-generation Canadians want to feel more Canadian. Well, there's very few things that are more Canadian than the Canadian Football League, but it needs to be affordable. So now there's ticket pricing for kids. There's ticket pricing for millennials. There's packages where you can come into the stadium and, get in, have a beer, have a hot dog, and it's reasonably priced. I think that's a very good start. And then, look, Wally Bono's last season, the winningest coach in CFL history, I'm expecting a lot just because Coach Buono is a remarkable guy, and I think he's gonna do everything he can to have a competitive team. All those things will play a role to getting to where we want to be with the BC Lions again.
Do you have to be? Do you have to treat each team like an individual child in the sense? Because you know, not many issues in Edmonton moving the Grey Cup tickets, but here you are in Vancouver. So when you come here, is it a different sense of what you have to do to engage the fans here? And then it's different in Winnipeg and in Toronto, Montreal.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, one of the things we did this winter is we did a tour of the other professional leagues and asked a lot of questions. You know, what are they doing? How are they operating? What are some of the best practices they have? Conversation with the NBA was fascinating because they built a team services group. This goes back to David Stern's era. David recognized that not all the teams were as good as each other in areas like ticket selling and sponsorship and many other of the core things that drive the business. So they built a team services group. What they told us is that about 80% of the things they do apply to all the teams equally. And 20% have to be customized market to market. But the basics of blocking and tackling, the basics of, you know, managing your ticket selling business, having the right performance metrics, making sure that your reward systems and how you just, you know, the raw sales management stuff can make a big difference in how your team performs. So their motto was compete on the court and collaborate off the court. And we've implemented a similar system. So I think we can do a lot. That 80% is a green field to do a lot to help the teams and then let them customize around their unique circumstances.
Commissioner Randy Ambrosio in studio with us here on Sportsnet 650. The stadium, you've gone public about saying that Calgary desperately needs a new stadium from what the existing infrastructure is with McMahon Stadium. You look at the transition that we have seen since really Montreal was the blueprint a few years ago with a more intimate stadium that's somewhere around that 25,000 seat, give or take. You've seen Winnipeg follow suit. Regina, obviously a little bigger because that market in Saskatchewan, the whole province, you could try to cram into that stadium. Toronto's now at BMO. Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton, Ottawa with the stadium that they have now. Obviously, it's still thriving at Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton, but when you look at BC Place Stadium, just the enormity of it, there are people that talk about the stadium being an issue. Wally Buono alluded to it here on this show last week. In your mind, is BC Place a bit of a problem here for this team?
Well, it's a beautiful stadium, and I think the way they've managed it by really just making it about the lower bowl. Look, at some level, it is how you define your stadium. So, you know, the fact that you can focus your attention on the lower bowl, I think is a good starting spot. It is a big building, and you know, big. I think the days, my view is that the days of the cavernous stadiums are over. I think that sports...
It's like the new Skydome in some respects, Randy. It's the new Rogers Center, right? Where that was too big for the Argos going back up until the last few years, and now this is what it looks like here.
Yeah, and sports in general, the topic of selling tickets to people is an issue everywhere in every sport. Why? Because frankly, you know, like if you go back to, you know, let's call it the 60s, 70s, and even 80s. You know, everyone remembers that 26-inch piece of furniture everyone had in their family room. It was a curved screen, you know, slightly grainy.
Wood paneling on the side.
live sports was competing against that. Today, they're competing against 80-inch Binford High Def Super Case. You can sit
4K.
In your basement.
You got everything.
And so we've got to focus on... a lot of factors. One of them is that you got to get your stadiums right. The thing we're learning about the millennials, as an example, they're not a traditional. They don't watch the games in a traditional way. That's great, but you have to build a way for them to enjoy the more social atmosphere in the stadium. You know, that's why in places like Ottawa and Winnipeg and Tim Hortons Field, you know, the standing area. Remember when standing room only was a bad ticket? Now standing room only represents some of the hottest tickets in sports because it represents kind of how the millennials want to watch it. So
it's a party.
It is.
They don't really care about the game that much.
Yeah, it's not really just a stadium size issue. It's a stadium design issue that I think is the bigger challenge. And then finally, you know, getting fans, like connecting them to the game. And I've been watching now, so Winnipeg does a great job. Ottawa does a great job of bringing the fans onto the field after the game. It solves your egress problem. So people, you know, you're not everyone's trying to get home at the same time. But the fans, the kids, the boys, the girls, and the grown-ups, I love watching these 30-something guys, all of whom are running the 40 against one another. You would just know there's torn hamstrings the next day. But it's a way for them to feel connected to the game. So, you know, it's hard to get fans on the field here in BC Place. You know, it's just a lot of those things, but I like that Rick is here with a long history and an understanding of our game and our league, a very progressive mindset, total support from David Brayley. I think the building itself is not a problem. I think we can solve for it by being more fan-centric.
The challenge has never been the players. I mean, you go back, I worked in Edmonton when you were playing for the Eskimos and all that stuff. The players are still the same. I think some of the best stories in sports are the CFL players, because they've got some unique backgrounds and they are not making millions of dollars. They are still part of the community. And I love the, you know, that ad campaign going back 7 or 8 years ago, you'd see the neighbor cutting the lawn and then you'd see a CFL player in uniform. Is that what you have to get out to people to? Like you say with engagement, to just go, man, these guys are going to sell the property. You've got it with Johnny Manziel, which is a different topic we'll get to. But is it still the key to let people know who the players are?
Yeah, I think that the strong connection, making sure that we create that fan identity for our players, who they are and about their lives. You know, somebody said to me this offseason, they were in a, and it was a criticism, I think, that our players live in their neighborhood. And I said, yeah, but you don't have any other neighbors that can bench press 500 pounds. These guys are not normal human beings. They're special. They're world-class athletes. But you can't ask people to know that. You have to show them. You have to tell them who the guys are. Look, if I was to change one thing overnight, I would want less turnover on our rosters. I would want to give our fans a much greater opportunity to get to know the players. That's an issue that we have to talk about going forward, to make sure that not only do they get an introduction to a great player, but that great player is around and performing for them for, you know, for years to come. So those are some of the things we're thinking about. But I think you're spot on. Getting the fans to know our players is key.
Randy, you brought up David Brayley, and there seems to be a consensus in this market that he's got to sell the team. You know, he saved the franchise, as you know, back in 96, 97. And he put a lot of money into it in the first few years. He lost a ton. And then he turned it around when, you know, we talked about Bobby Ackles turned it around. Are you of the feeling that he has to sell and a new voice in Vancouver for the Lions?
You know, I have gotten to know David quite well over the past 12 months. I spend a fair bit of time just visiting with him. First of all, there's no one that's got a better sense of the history of this league than David Brayley. And for England, he's got a mind like a steel trap. Like I'm not sure how you would describe a memory as great as his, but he's got something special.
Which may work for or against you as a commissioner.
Well,
right?
That could be, yes. But he loves the league. I think, you know, David had a health problem. He, you know, I think understandably wasn't as focused on the football team as he would have liked to have been. David's back. He's put Rick in because he really wanted he wanted somebody with experience. Look, I will tell you this, David Brayley can and should be the owner of this franchise as long as David Brayley is committed and wants to be the owner of this franchise. He's an incredible contributor around the governor's table because he's got a depth of knowledge. But this franchise is what Rick is bringing and Ed Hervey's bringing and Wally has a lot of his energy. Because I think this is still a league where you have to literally do the work. It's a shoe leather. You have to get out and tell the story. You've got to be in the community. You can't think that people think they're welcome in the stadium and invited to come in. You have to go ask them. You have to make the calls. You have to do the work. And David's committed to doing that.
Randy Ambrosi in studio with us here on Sportsnet 650. So the 2018 season gets set to get underway, and you announced a move last week that, you know, you have a salary cap in place. There's one in place, you know, there's one in the NFL, there's one in the National Hockey League, there's one in the NBA. But there was one that kind of surprised people and somewhat flew under the radar, but you kind of irked some coaches and some managers. You're putting a cap in place for teams at $2.7 million for spending on managers and scouts and training staff and coaches starting next year. Why? For teams that have that opportunity to maybe have that competitive advantage in the front office, why is this happening?
Well, you know, it started by a simple exercise of pulling apart our financials, which, you know, is my history in my background. So we just literally took the financials for the entire league and laid them out end to end. And what you found is that the fastest growing expense in our league is non-player football operations costs. And if you don't have some type of controls in it, you end up in an arms race. You know, somebody adds a coach for this and then everyone else wants that. And then somebody's adding something for this and everyone else.
Coaches, so what sort of examples were you seeing then?
Well, you know, just the size of coaching staffs has grown dramatically over time. The number of people working in non-player football ops positions has grown. You know, all of those things.
Is that not a good thing, though, for employment?
Well, it is.
And jobs within the league?
It is. But in any business, you have to have a rational business operating model. You know, you have to match your revenues and expenses in some thoughtful way. Look, this isn't about cutting. It's about running a good business. You know, the responsibility that I feel to the owners, to the fans, to the players is to run a good business so that we can get to where this league deserves to be. Look, for what it's worth, I will tell you this, and I'll shout it from the rooftop. This league has never reached its full potential. This is an amazing game. You know, you mentioned earlier, the players are world-class. And yet somehow we've managed to be a humble church mouse in amongst giants. And those days are over. Like, to heck with that idea of being small. So run a really good business. Make sure we have money to invest in areas that can help us grow. Think big. And then, as I've been talking with everyone, all of the people in the ecosystem, our success on the field, our success financially off the field will get us to where we want to be, and everyone will prosper. But it doesn't happen if you don't have good, solid business practices in place.
Simple business, and we've got to be quick here, Randy. Supply and demand. I think there's a demand for sports in the Maritimes, and no one's been able to supply it. When will this league go there and make it truly across the country?
Well, there's a really good group that's working on this. They're in a conversation with Halifax Town Council. They're working with the province. I was in Moncton last week and had a chance to meet with Premier Gallant and had a chance to meet with members of his cabinet. One of the mayors sat down with us as well. And what I can tell you is there's a real big desire to have Canadian football in Atlantic Canada. You know, what's fascinating about this opportunity is I think it's kind of like the National Railway. It's not done until it's done. Until you have track that goes from one coast to the other, you don't have a National Railway. That's part of our history. I don't think we're complete until we get into Atlantic Canada and then allow that. Think about Labor Day. I frame it this way. But think about a Labor Day where you've got the classic Calgary, Edmonton, you've got the Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, the Toronto, Hamilton. Add to that Montreal playing Ottawa. Let's kind of the old Upper Canada, Lower Canada thing. Mm-hmm. Have some fun with that rivalry. And then the Coast Bowl.
Yes.
Have the two coasts playing. Imagine Labor Day.
Vancouver's kind of on the outside looking in
yes.
for a natural
yeah.
rival.
And,
here, right?
And this is actually a way of making the country smaller. I think there would be a rivalry. Which coast is better? You would actually end up previewing all the beauty and splendor that is the two coasts of Canada. I think the CFL can actually be a force to bring Canadians closer together. All of those things are good. And that's a reason why we're working hard at it. It is by no means a fait accompli, but you have to start somewhere. And we've started by working with a really good group. And there seems to be strong will to advance the project.
Spoken like a true Westerner, trying to divide the East and the West again, right? East side, West side, Atlantic, Pacific. Oh,
see what I put up with?
Yeah,
this?
No, yeah. I like it. No, yeah. I like it.
This is why you got to give him a 6-game suspension.
Commissioner Randy Ambrosi of the Canadian Football League, thanks for hanging out with us this morning,
thanks,
and thanks
Randy.
For putting
great.
Up with Dollywell.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks, guys.
All right. The one and the only Randy Ambrosi joining us here on Sportsnet 650.
Sportsnet 650.